Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja.
This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of Cashflow Ninja. You can check out all of our past interviews. There's over 700 of them and shows between Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Investing Secrets, along with community resources and tools at cashflowninja.com. I've got another fantastic guest for you today and another fantastic show. I'm joined by Jody Cook. Jody has created the Clever Types Books series and has created a phenomenal business out of it. I'm very excited to talk to her about entrepreneurship and how to teach your kids to become entrepreneurs and learn about her business. Jody, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
For folks not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Yes, sure. So my professional career, I guess, started when I was 22, when I was fresh out of university, fresh out of a graduate scheme, and I decided that I wanted to be a social media manager because I thought it might be fun. I didn't have this grand plan. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have anything other than just get some clients, which thinking about it now is probably the best business plan because it was so uncomplicated. And then so I pretty much started off as a social media freelancer and then built it into a company of 20 people now. And that was 9 years ago now. And then along the way, quite early on, I started to realize that no one my age was starting businesses. They were all getting on the corporate ladder, climbing up it. And they either thought of starting their own business as something that they would never do, or they might do in like 10, 20 years when they had already done all the other stuff first. And for me, I just thought that was crazy because I was having such a good time meeting really cool people, doing work that I love to do, all on my own terms. So that's when I started digging into that a little bit more. And then I guess there's lots of stages to this story, but that's what led to creating entrepreneurial role models in storybooks. Because what I discovered was that the people who feel like they can start their own business, it's always because they've had an entrepreneurial role model. And maybe some of the people listening now, they can think, who was it? Was it a parent? Was it an uncle or an auntie or someone, you know, a teacher who introduced them to someone who they were inspired by? I just feel like everyone needs one. And so my kind of career since realizing that has been creating these role models for young budding entrepreneurs.
Fantastic. And I love the storybooks. I've got two of them right here, Walk at Willow, and there's another one, Ride at Ryan. So I really have enjoyed these books. And it's so true what you said. You know, every entrepreneur and business owner and investor that I have interviewed, there's always been someone in their life, you know, when they even share it, I said, I've got an uncle and I saw what he was doing, but everyone else was doing this and he was doing that. And I'm like, I'm interested to learn more about what he's doing and follow that. So it's so true, the role that role models play in our lives. And we learn by seeing, right, and observing. And that's how we learn most of it. So I love the idea of the storybook business. What were some of your biggest role models when you got started?
So my mom was definitely my biggest role model. She was self-employed for probably about 15 years before I started to be self-employed. And I always just remember not knowing that much about what she did, but knowing that it was up to her how she spent her time. And also knowing that everything that she did was really important. I always got the idea that her work was very important and it meant a lot to her that she did it well. And one of the things I remember when I was younger is if it was the school holidays and she was working, she worked from home. So if she was working from her office, we'd had to be quiet. If she was on the phone and anyone made a noise, there would be trouble. And it was because she was just so keen to give this good impression. So I definitely remember this concept of taking pride in your work and being proud of everything that you put out there.
And purpose, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then my dad was actually he was the dealer principal of car dealerships. So it was all about sales, but he kind of taught me and my little sister to to sell in a kind of jokey way. So he'd be kind of asking us things and nodding along as if to say, yeah, you need to agree with this. Or he taught us little silly sales techniques that he probably didn't actually use, but he wanted us to grasp this concept that there's a way to take someone on a journey to mean that you've got more of a chance of selling something. So I think both of those sides of the role model helped me do what I do now, I guess.
No, absolutely. And I love it how you said, one of the first things that you saw with your mom too is how she spent her time, you know, and she had control over her time, because that's the first thing, the first freedom that every entrepreneur and investor chases is freedom of time, right? To just own your time back. So two really, really big things that I picked up there is the time and purpose, you know, doing work that you're proud of because you enjoy it, because you're living your sole purpose. So you started the social media company, then you started a company putting out these books, and you've really created a book ecosystem business. Can you share a little bit more about that, how that works, and also the power of this? Because this is very powerful. Books, the book industry, maybe you can touch on that. It's changed quite a bit too of late. But this is really interesting, just looking at what you've created here. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So I don't actually know how many books I've written, probably about 15, something like that. And they're a mix of self-published, published, and published with hybrid publishers, where you keep more of the kind of equity in the books, but they do a lot of the traditional publishing stuff, like the typesetting and getting it all ready. So I've kind of got experience of the whole spectrum. My kids' books I wrote with my husband and with another writer, and we didn't have a clue. We honestly didn't have a clue. We just thought, we want to write these entrepreneurial role models into stories, and it can't be that hard, can it, to write a kid's book, to find an illustrator, to put it all together, to get a printer. No, how hard can it be? And we just kind of went for it. But I think so that's definitely what started it out. And then actually the way that we went about selling those at first was getting sponsorship. So this was something that was quite an interesting process, because we were trying to get these really small sponsorship deals with kind of 5 or 6 schools in a certain area. And then it took us a very long time to get the first few of those signed off. So we had some banks sponsor kind of 5 or 6 schools that we thought, hang on, to cover the whole of the UK, so that's 24,000 primary schools, it's going to take us years and years and years. So we completely scrapped that plan. And we decided that we were going to find one sponsor to put them in every single primary school in the UK. So we just went after that goal and then made that happen. So that was very much the kickstart of this whole book thing, because we just sold 100,000 of them in one go. And they were in every primary school. Every kid knew who the characters were. And it kind of grew from there. So that's when we thought, okay, we need to build on this. So everything since then has been along the same theme of just things that help people in whatever way that is. So the kids' books are all about entrepreneurial role models, but then there's a story guidebook and there's an activity book, which are all about teaching people to take the concepts and apply them kind of in the classroom or in the home or something like that. And everything we put out is very like, how is this going to help people? How would this have helped, you know, people who we're friends with, or a former version of ourselves, and then creating it based on that. So that was the kids' book side of things. And then a couple of years ago, I managed to get a contributor slot on Forbes Online. So started writing articles for Forbes. And that started really slow, because I probably didn't really know what to write about. And it hadn't got to a habit at that stage. But now I probably write about 8 pieces a month for them, something like that. So that built up and up and up. And then I started just building this readership. And I think that's really, it's a really important kind of takeaway for any listeners. It's like, you will not have this massive readership at first straight away. You won't. But all it takes is for one person to go, oh, wow, it's like you're speaking to me. You've really solved the problem. And then you get another one, and then you get another one. And each kind of article or book just grows from there. So after about a year of doing that, someone actually emailed me to say, have you got a printed version of one of your articles? And it was an article called How to Stop Caring About What Everyone Else Thinks, which I guess is something that lots of people want to read. And he said, I really want that for my daughters, because they just care so much about what people think. I want to print it out and put it on their wall so that they can just see it the whole time. And that's when I thought, oh, I've got this content here. I've not really turned it into anything else that's physical. And that's when I started creating like books. So I'm on the second volume of those now, and it's pretty much my best articles from the year in a book each and every year. So there will be people at home who are writing articles, who are producing this content, but they haven't necessarily thought how they can repurpose it into something else, something that lasts longer than an article which has got a 2018 timestamp on. It's stuff that you can kind of keep helping people and keep speaking to people. So, and then I might show you these actually, because as we're on camera. So this is that's the main one, which is Stop Acting Like You Can Live Forever. But then I think it's really important that people can take the messages in each book and actually do stuff with them. So I made like a guided journal. So the idea is that every single theme, and this is something that I swear is replicable. Like if you have a topic that you know helps people, turn it into stuff that they can actually do things with. So for example, the pages look like this and people are going to write. So this is an article called If in Doubt, Choose Kindness. And it's like, how can I ensure I take every opportunity to choose kindness, or five random acts of kindness I can carry out this week. And it's like, try and create the resources to go alongside the books at the same time. And then where it kind of led up to for me was collaborating with people. So the first collaboration is the one that we were talking about just before we went live, and it's a book called How to Raise Entrepreneurial Kids. But I feel like every single project you do should take you up a step, and this is the plan with this one. So it's collaborating with Daniel Priestley, who's a five times best-selling author, and we've written it together. But then I feel like that's going to take everything else up a step, which then helps everything else in the kind of ecosystem. So I feel like you don't just have books that are standalone books. It's that they all help each other sell, and they all help put your message out there as someone who represents these messages, whatever they might be.
MC Lobshire, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
Absolutely, because if you, let's just say, get a hold of one of these, then obviously you're going to want to enjoy all of them because they're so enjoyable and the kids love them. And then with the other things of helping folks, and one of the things you just mentioned is probably one of the most important things that out there. You know, stop worrying what other people think.
Yeah. Oh, so much. And that is, I feel like that's the thing that holds people back the most. And a big antidote to caring what people think is knowing that your work is valuable. And how do you know your work is valuable? You answer the problems of the former version of yourself. You almost go back in time and say, what was I struggling with then? What would have really helped me? And that's who I write to. And then it means that you then discover that you're speaking to people on such a personal level that they feel like you're inside their head, like mind reading them.
It's so true. I mean, that a lot of the episodes that we create and for the show is that I speak with folks and want to have folks on the show with the goal of sharing content of things that I wish I had known back 10 years ago. You know, and it's the same thing with my other show that I created, Cashflow Investing Secrets, where it's only 10 minutes, but I share one concept or idea that I learned from this show. But the goal of that is like, how do I translate everything that I've learned and condensed that it's digestible, let's just say, for my children, and have them sort of as my avatar thinking like, these are the things that I wanted to know or would have wanted to know when I was younger and getting started. But it's taken me, you know, 20 plus years to figure that out, right? So it's so powerful speaking to your former self when you were in that situation where you wanted to escape from to get to your desired situation. The books is so powerful. It's a very powerful medium. I know we do predominantly audio and video content and so forth, and we do blogs and write and so forth, but books is a very, very, very powerful medium. And plus, it gets you on another search engine, right? Gets you on Amazon, which is one of the biggest search engines out in the world, along with Google and YouTube.
I feel like what I've found is everyone wants to consume something in a different way. So it's just often a case of making that same content available in a different way to different people. And it's probably going to be a different audience.
Absolutely. So let's jump into your latest project, which I'm excited to talk about, How to Raise Entrepreneurial Kids, because so many folks in my conversations throughout, you know, when we still used to speak nationally or have conferences and meet listeners and so forth, a lot of the things that we talk about is children, because we talk a lot about leaving something for the next generation on the show, is about what values can we instill? How can we raise children that will be self-reliant, self-sufficient, and be able to fish for themselves in this world and not being dependent on a job and so forth? What are some of the biggest things that you guys cover in the book of How to Raise Entrepreneurial Children?
Well, how the book first came about was actually because I wanted to write a blog post called How to Raise Entrepreneurial Kids. And then I used a service that you may have used before called Harrow. So it stands for Help a Reporter Out. And I sent out these two requests. And one was, how were you raised to be entrepreneurial? And another was, how are you raising entrepreneurial kids? And I thought I might get, you know, three responses that I could write a blog post about. And I got 500, and there were 500 incredible stories. People had poured their heart and soul into telling me how they were raised or what they were doing and, you know, thanking the people who'd helped them. And so I was sat there with 40,000 words in front of me, just thinking, oh, wow, this is not a blog post anymore. And so that's the kind of basis for the book. So when I called Daniel to ask if he wanted to write the book with me, I talked to him about these responses and we kind of turned it into a framework. So it's split now into four sections. It's entrepreneur mindset, entrepreneur skills, entrepreneurial opportunities, and the parent mental. And each of those four sections has got some of the, like, lots of the examples of the ones we received. And then each one's kind of set up with actionables and different stories from celebrities and well-known entrepreneurs of how they were raised. So I guess it's very much about sharing stories and sparking inspiration. Like, it's definitely not a parenting book. It's not like a, hey, here's how you should do this, because there's as many different ways to parent as there are children. But it's designed to just spark those different ideas, which can lead to someone becoming more independent or more resourceful or more creative, and eventually going on to have a career that they're just so happy with because they've chosen it and they've not gone along the normal education path where they're pushed along certain paths that might just not be right for them.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. I love these four pillars, by the way, or four parts: the mindset, skills, opportunities, and was it mentors, parental mentors?
Yeah, like the parent mentor, yeah.
Yeah, it's I love it because the first two starts with the entrepreneur, right? And that's it. And I love that philosophy and approach of starting with you as the asset and that mindset, which I know a lot of folks talk about it, but it's so understated how important it is. You know, as a Tony Robbins talk about your state, you know, and raising your state to a certain level. And once you take your mindset to a certain state, it's almost like a door open and you just walk into another universe, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it so much. One of the sections in entrepreneurial mindset is about dreaming big and teaching someone how to dream big, and then talking about, well, what do you want to do in the future? Or what do you even want to do next Tuesday? And then, well, how can we do something bigger than that? And having these conversations that lead to them believing that they can do anything. And then another section in the book is about practice and the power of practice and the power of mastery and learning how to master something that you can then take that skill and apply it to other things as well. So there's 46 different sections, but they're all ones that have and like examples from parents and entrepreneurs, different actionables, and that people can just try out and see what happens.
Yeah, I love it. So the mindset obviously is a big one, the dreaming big. I mean, look at you look at what people have built and the stuff that has been created, it's just quite incredible. That wasn't because they didn't have a vision or didn't have a dream. You know, like obviously in 2020, one of the big things was the launch of SpaceX and NASA in the United States. I mean, Elon's dreaming on a different, he's in a different world, and it looks crazy to everyone else around him. It usually does, right?
Where Yeah.
And I love the skills, because we talk a lot about a skill stacking and talent stacking. And you're a perfect example of that, where there was one set of skills with social media and marketing and so forth that translated into seizing an opportunity, and then adding another skill of putting this together and putting books together and writing and becoming a better writer. And now all of a sudden, you know, you've got the marketing with creativity, and then the writing, you stack all of these together. Now things are starting to snowball for you. And opens up opportunities, which is the third one here. And then the mentor just ties back to the role models and having a mentor, right? Which is one of the reasons for the Clever Tykes books.
And in the parent mentor section as well, one of them is about being the role model, being the conscious role model, almost being aware that everything you do will just be copied. People become a combination of the five people they spend the most time with. And that's just what will happen. So if you are aware of that just the whole time, then it almost makes you a better educator or parent or whatever, and becoming a better role model to someone else too. And also what you said about Elon Musk earlier, because he's just a fascinating person with how big he dreams and everything that he does and what he puts into place. But he has exactly the same number of hours in his day as everyone else. He started with nothing, just like everyone else. He's got the same raw materials. So it's like, if we can inspire someone that, there's no reason why couldn't they be the next Elon Musk? Like, of course they could. It's just that you need to have a plan and put everything in place to achieve it. And then magic stuff happens, like making history with those flights.
It's so true. One of the things that is in the news currently is the fourth industrial revolution that, you know, the World Economic Forum and the Davos crowd puts out. And it's like this big turning where the world is shifting again. And, you know, it's almost like the mindset of where I think folks will be able to see a lot of opportunity is that through every big move and shift in the world throughout history, you know, you go from the agricultural age to the industrial revolution and so forth, you really had to own land or, you know, have access to a factory the last time. Now we have access to the internet. We have access to the information that's out there. So it's almost like, in this big shift that's currently happening, the playing field is so much more level. There's just so much more opportunities to, if you position yourself accordingly and have the right mindset, add the skills that you're going to need, because with AI and robotics and all these things coming, the opportunities will be there. And there's already folks showing you of where this is all going, you know, Elon being one of them, right?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating that the internet is just such a great leveler. And if you can just mess around with it, then you can learn what could be possible if you practice selling things on eBay or all this stuff within a completely risk-free environment where you're just testing it out. And then you become just used to using all the tools out there and you can build whatever you want off that. So someone who I interviewed for the book, his name is Jordan Dakin, and he actually started his business when he was 13. And it's called Grip It, and it does kind of fixings for walls, and they sell to different hardware stores. And he also went on Dragon's Den. He was something like the youngest ever contestant to get funding on Dragon's Den. And he was saying that when he first started out his business, he would have sales calls on the phone with people. And that was all fine because he could put on a deep voice. But when he went to meet people, they'd be like, what? you're just a kid. And even he had that when until he was 20, because someone was like, hang on, no, you cannot. Of course, you cannot have this business. But it's like, yeah, you can. There's no reason why he can't. He just worked it out earlier.
And Dragon's Den, is that sort of like the Shark Tank?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Exactly. It's the British version of Shark Tank.
There you go. Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen, you know, folks in our network and some of our clients in one of my companies is like 21, 22 year olds that has really, really big businesses just on Amazon. Like enormous, and no, didn't go to college or university, just went straight. They had the right mindset. They skilled up. They learned the business. And in a couple of years, this is just a seven-figure businesses, which is just quite astounding to see, right?
Yeah. I think universities are going to have to kind of think quite carefully about what they're actually offering people over and above the education that they could choose to get in other ways. I think I saw, maybe it was a Seth Godin kind of talk or article or something, and he was talking about how good universities are really just famous universities. And this concept of, if we think of them as just being famous, it kind of takes the power away and it doesn't make you feel like, oh, I should go to college or I should go to university. I might not choose to do that because it might not be right for me.
So true. I mean, I was actually having a conversation with someone the other day. You're going to have your country clubs, you know, in the US, obviously, where I reside is your Harvard, Princeton, Yale, you know, Stanford, MIT, and so forth. And those are country clubs, basically, because a lot of what they will teach there eventually, too, besides foundational stuff, they can't keep up. The business model of universities in itself will not be able to keep up with rapid changes that's occurring in the economy. So you think about marketing. I remember this. I was on a flight the one time traveling, and someone had like a college marketing book, right? And they were studying or reading, and they were going there. And I'm like sitting there thinking to myself, I go, marketing, it changes weekly. You know, yes, especially like the tactical, yes, the foundational stuff and the philosophies, you know, of Ogilvy and so forth might stay in place, but the tactical stuff could change from week to week.
All different.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
When I was 16, I went to see the careers advisor at my school and we talked about what I should do. And social media manager didn't even exist as a career at that point. And yet it was 6 years later that's when I became one. And I don't think it was actually taught. I did a degree in business management and I don't think we actually talked about social media the whole time, because it just hadn't, the education side of things hadn't caught up with industry yet. And I think that's probably going to happen forever. And I especially think that's important for the kids of today going through school. They're going to go into careers that just don't yet exist. We have no idea what they're going to be. And there's almost no point in fixing your aspirations to certain roles. It's more about fixing your aspirations to who you are as a person, or what you can do, or what you're good at, or what your values are. I think that's a far better way for someone to be adaptable to the future, rather than just having their mindset on, you know, being a checkout operator when they're all machines now. And I did want to be a checkout operator when I was younger, because I quite like the beep, and it's just quite a fun thing to do when you're a kid, to go to the supermarket. But now those jobs way down.
My friend Brian Page has created a cash flow machine generating over $100,000 in 6 months without owning any real estate. His system consists out of renting properties from property owners and renting them out on Airbnb. His system is so simplistic, it can be managed by virtual assistants, and yet so effective and powerful that it predictably generates cash flow every month. Brian and I are hosting a webinar where he shares his system and how it generated over $100,000 in 6 months for him personally. You can access this life-changing webinar at cashflowninja.com/BNB. This is one of the greatest cash flow opportunities I've seen since I've started my podcast. Again, the URL is cashflowninja.com/BNB.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true what you said. The jobs that, if someone, let's just say, like, I just look at my kids that are so young right now, by the time they get to, you know, with the age which folks then seek out universities and colleges, it might not even be a thing. The world or the jobs that folks are preparing for right now in, let's just say, high school, even like at the beginning of college, might not even be there in 4 years. Think about what happened in 1 year. What do you think is going to happen in 4 years by the time they go into college and graduate college? It's a completely different world, right?
Yeah. But I love the idea that someone could have that mindset in place, that they're really excited by that. And they don't see it as like, oh no, what am I going to do? Everything's crashing down around me. It's like, yes, what are we going to do? This is amazing. Like, there's these opportunities. I'm young and I can go do whatever I want. I just love, and that is a choice. And I think the people who choose to make the most of that and be happy about that and be ready for it will be the ones who can just thrive in any crisis.
Yep, absolutely. And the other thing that I also love is that, and I refer to them as country clubs, the top schools, like obviously in the UK, Oxford, you know, Cambridge and so forth. But they always had access to, let's just say, if there was an economics professor or someone, the best economics person, or you know, they would bring in outside, let's just say, business icons or to speak at the university. What I really love, again, back to the leveling of the playing field, is anyone can now access the best in whatever niche or skill set or online for free, study them, learn from them, you know, and so forth. If you want to be one of the best social media marketing people, or you want to be a great investor, real estate investor, regardless of what you want to be, you can go and seek out the person that's the best and look at their content, read their books and so forth, and have access to all of this knowledge. And some of them even teach courses, right, on online. And so instead of then just having another person, you know, teaching it in a classroom, you now have access to the best of the best. So it's going to change the game completely, I think, for the best too, or for the better, rather. staying on that word.
Yeah, I almost think that the biggest blocker to that happening is us being able to stay focused and winning the war on attention. That I feel like the best ideas don't come straight away. The best ideas come when you sit there for a bit, or when you change your scenery, when you give yourself a chance to be a bit agitated, right? When you feel like you want to reach for your phone, that's when you shouldn't reach for your phone. You should actually keep thinking, because there's probably something brilliant there. And I feel like that applies to when you're writing, when you're creating something good. It's always the easy thing to do, to be tempted away and be scrolling something or be worried about what someone else is doing somewhere. But really, if you can stick to focusing on your own game, you'll know exactly how to leverage all the amazing stuff around you without just kind of consuming it.
Absolutely. So one of the habits I've learned from successful and wealthy folks is they're always studying, they're always learning and so forth. What are you studying right now and learning?
Oh, I read books just the whole time. I try and be writing or reading the whole time. So I just actually finished reading The 5 a.m. Club, and I don't get up at 5 a.m. I get up at 6 a.m. But the concept that I love in that book is the victory hour. How the first hour of every morning, what are you going to do with it to make sure that the whole day is brilliant? So I've started being way more intentional about the first day of every single day. And the first thing I do every day is the Wim Hof breathing method. Have you tried?
No, I've not.
So he's just a fascinating guy he's not a freak of nature. He's got strategies that are replicable, even though he does amazing stuff. Like he's climbed Everest in just like shorts, and he held the world record for the longest breath hold in ice water or something like that. And he's got lots of techniques that help you create a really good mindset and just feel better and feel healthier and be a better business person, I guess. Although he's not really focused on business person, he's just on business people. He's just focused on improving people. And then after I've done that, I try and write first. I try and not let anything bug me first. Have that first hour at least just on my terms, where nothing else can kind of interrupt.
Yeah, is he the guy that sits in the ice water too with the, yes, and does the breathing? Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah,
yeah. What an interesting character.
Such an interesting character. And also it's just so linked. I think it's, we can improve ourselves via just knowledge and knowing more, or we can just make our bodies function better and then do more with the stuff we already know. So I quite like thinking about both sides of that.
Absolutely. Now, Jodi, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
So the first is from a Neil Gaiman commencement speech, and it's just make good art. Just absolutely love that. Another one I would say is follow your own path. I think there's always someone who thinks you should do something different, or charge more or charge less, or do a different career or something, but I feel like following the path that's true to you is just always the best way to go. And then the third one is dream bigger, because no one else probably is. I just feel like there's far less competition when you dream bigger than anyone else can even imagine. And I think that the moment you feel yourself starting to be a bit normal or a bit aspirational, then it's like, change your scenery, change the people who you surround yourself with, and just work out a way of dreaming like Elon Musk does or anyone else like that does.
Where can people learn more about you? Where can they follow you? Where can they find the many books that you write? And also, where can they get a copy of the new book coming out and launching soon, How to Raise Entrepreneurial Kids?
So everything about How to Raise Entrepreneurial Kids is at clevertykes.com/book. And then I'm at jodycook.com, and I'm on Instagram and Twitter and all the social medias. And I would love to hear from anyone who's been listening. Just say hey.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners. This has been a blast connecting and having you on.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening and watching, thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Check out all of our past episodes and community resources at cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.